the show.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. We just had a couple people here in our roundtable snacking on something, which is in keeping with the theme of this week's show, which is eating habits.
And it was delicious.
I know. I abstain because I'm just not eating anything bad for the next 12 years.
Or she just doesn't like the way it tastes.
Or that. Okay, so later on in the show, the inbox, we are going to address the question of what it means to have a gentle and quiet spirit. How come no one asked me to answer that one?
That's weird.
Surprise, surprise. And then for our culture segment, what a privilege to have the founder of Focus on the Family's wife, Shirley Dobson, here with us, as well as her daughter, Danae Dobson, who is single. And I hope she listens to the show because you know I'm going to ask her. So they're going to be talking about hospitality. And really, they actually have a new book out that we'll be talking about, Welcome to Our Table, where they talk about holiday ideas and ways to entertain, whether you know you have a big group or a small group or whatever. So it'll be fun to catch up with them. But here we are for our roundtable, which has three of us. It's an intimate gathering today. Martha mm-hmm. is here.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Ooh, happy Thanksgiving. American Thanksgiving.
That's true.
And Thomas.
What up, Hollywood?
Good to have you.
It's going to catch. I think the more that I use that nickname on you, people are going to use it.
You need to use it more.
People use it out there.
Did you wear this bow tie for us, or did you just wear that to the office today?
We're going to go with the first option.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, I wore it for you guys.
Because I appreciate it. It's almost like a holiday. There's a holiday flair.
Yeah,
you know. So I think it's appropriate
for
the show.
Thanksgiving, bow ties, you know.
That's excellent.
They go hand in hand.
I know. All you need, I mean, it's almost like your sweater thing almost has like a smoker's jacket element to it.
Well,
I'm appreciating it.
You know, that's I do soft. Smoke here at Focus
that's
on the
good.
Family.
That's good. Just,
it's not true.
No, you do not. Okay, well, we are talking about single. Okay, this is almost ironic and hilarious heading into Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving may be the only day of the year that some singles eat a good meal.
This is true.
I mean, how many of us are looking forward to it?
I know,
it?
That Stouffer's makes a great Thanksgiving frozen dinner.
The sad thing is when it's terrific. The only day of the year that you make a good meal and you still have to be the one that prepares it because you have people over that either don't cook or won't cook or whatever. So
you go
I don't
to potlucks.
Know how I get roped into
I've
that.
I've gone to lots of potlucks for Thanksgiving.
I love going to potlucks at churches but that you've never been to before. Mm. And they all just look at you but feed you anyways because, you know.
Or just make the circuit. You can go to several of them and they'll just think that you're visiting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay. I know.
You can, or like people in from your church that invite you and just be like, yeah, I can go with
spend
you.
A two,
and you hit like three or
you
four.
Know, a good 2 weeks Excel spreadsheet, my timeline for Thanksgiving Day.
That is excellent. Well, we're going to use that as a springboard to talk about our eating habits in general. And the first question I want to ask y'all and I want us to talk about is what, like describe your eating habits now and compare them to the way you grew up. Has anything changed? What are you? Because I mean, Martha, hello, big family. You guys, I'm sure, had legit meals. And I know you don't eat. You don't even eat vegetables now, which is very sad. Could you please write to editor@boundless.org?
I don't remember my mom making vegetables very often. Oh. She wasn't much. No, I should say she didn't love cooking. Mm-hmm. But she had kind of like her favorite 10 to 15 recipes. And that's what we ate. A lot of spaghetti.
Okay.
Was our favorite.
Well, you had to do kind of like cooking in bulk because you had a
yeah,
big family.
Yep.
Yeah, so it wasn't like you couldn't do little like prissy things or anything.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I don't cook in bulk anymore.
No, you don't. That's for sure.
I grew up on an old dairy farm, and we would butcher cows all the time. And so ooh. I literally had like steak and potatoes for every meal.
Wow.
So now it's kind of ironic that I don't eat red meat or pork because that's what I grew up on.
Does your family think that's lame? Have they talked to you about
they
it?
They do. Every time I go home, my mom is like, we're going to cook out. We're going to have T-bone steaks. And then she'll just look at me and give me this look. And I'll get some chicken. You know, and you just like can see the disdain on
they
their faces.
They hope that you'll come around someday, probably.
Yeah. You know, they try to trick me all the time. They're like, oh, we're making lasagna. Have a big slice. And I'm like, it has beef in it. And she's like, oh, Thomas, you don't really not eat red meat. You know how moms know you better than you know yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, growing up, yeah, my mom made a lot of goulash is what she called it. That was whenever there was leftover pasta and you could just throw it all together in a pot. Mm-hmm. Spaghetti, fried chicken, a lot of really, really unhealthy foods, but that's okay. I loved a good Twinkie when I was younger.
I was going to say, I mean, I think you ate some processed foods too, right?
Oh, Lord.
Because you were kind of, I mean, let's just put it out there, you were kind of a chunkster.
I was. Okay. I, as my mom puts it, I grew out of my baby fat when I turned 18.
Okay.
I was like, it's kind of late in life for baby fat to disappear. But you know what? Whenever it goes, it goes. Yeah, I definitely ate the junk food. I had a big knack for the chip in the chocolate. Anything with a CH in the beginning of the name, it's kind of okay. What I went
so
for.
So what are your food patterns now? Because I know you actually like to cook.
Yeah, I do. I actually cook a lot. You know, I got to the point where I went to college, and if I wasn't at school or studying, I watched the Food Network, and then I would go to the store and cook myself dinner. Mm-hmm. And then I would always cook for all my roommates because, as we all know, it's a little difficult to cook for one, especially if you haven't gotten it down yet. So when I go home now, I actually cook the Thanksgiving meals. And the last time I went home, I opened the oven and my mom was like storing stuff in it. And she was like, yeah, it broke and we just haven't gotten it fixed yet. And I'm like, okay, well, how are we going to cook? Uh-huh. You know, so I ended
microwave.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Exactly. Thanksgiving meal via the microwave. So yeah, I do actually cook a lot now and enjoy.
Super.
Enjoy
well, I too grew up. My mom is not much of a cook. Wasn't much of a cook. She had her kind of, list of recipes that she worked through, and she worked from the time I was in junior high on. So, you know, would cook something usually when she came home, or else have something in a crock pot. But, So she, I would say, and it was very much, you know, good, generally good stuff. We didn't need a bunch of junk. Mine was the family where you ate the heels of the bread, you ate whole wheat bread, you ate, you know, we didn't get a lot of sugared cereals except for special occasions. But I would say I never thought about health. I don't remember it being taught in our family, you know, about being healthy or anything until my sister, we're in California, got into that early 80s granola and yogurt craze and started jogging. And that's kind of where we first realized that there are people out there that eat like healthy foods, you know, so it was amazing for us. But okay, Martha, tell us what's a typical dinner for you right now as a single woman?
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. This is embarrassing, but...
This is a safe place. Nobody can hear us.
Yeah, right. It's just us right here.
I eat a lot of cereal. I love waffles. I have crackers
like frozen
and
waffles?
Cheese. No, I make real waffles.
Oh, okay. See, that's
with
even,
chocolate chips.
That's pretty legit.
Chocolate chips, okay.
I love my fruit. Vegetables I rarely ever buy. I really don't even know what to do with them once I have them.
But you're supposed to have them in your fridge.
I think you're supposed to eat them, but I don't know. I mean, it could deter, you know, be different.
Frozen
things.
Pizzas. That's
I think you're kind of still in college. Although maybe we ate better in college.
You know,
I had a food plan.
Right.
I did very well in college, and then really in my 20s, like I tried to cook like once or twice a week, and then I would freeze like individual servings and would have something for lunch all the time. And then I decided, you know what? I don't like eating the same thing five, 7 times. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just kind of eat here and there and whatever.
I got to be honest, I kind of support you on some of the veggie thing. I mean, I have to stand by veggies because I know they're healthy. But it is very disappointing to buy a huge head of broccoli and try to figure out how as a single person to down that thing before it goes bad. It
I hate
very,
wasting. Yeah, it just feels like
and lettuce
my money.
Just overwhelms me. Like when I buy the big old thing of romaine, because I don't want to be wasteful with the bags, because those are like way overpriced.
Right.
I buy those.
Stewardship. I'll introduce you to our stewardship roundtable, Martha, where we talk about that. So it's a difficult thing. Vegetables are not singles friendly. I'm just going to get fresh vegetables.
Yes.
Okay. Although Thomas, tell us. Apparently, you have an idea.
I do have an idea.
Okay.
So all my friends know this about me, but I don't pay full price for things. Hmm. If there's anything I like, it's a bargain. Mm-hmm. Even if it's something I would typically not buy, but it seemed right in the moment, then I will stockpile. Hmm. Not like Honey Boo Boo stockpile, but definitely stockpile frozen foods. Okay, so like the steamables.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the broccoli and the corn and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They'll go on sale for like 10 for $10.
Oh, that's nice.
And they also have brown rice, which is great for lunches. Uh-huh. You know, you just steam it up real quick. So I have a stockpile of frozen vegetables in my freezer from whenever they go on sale 10 for 10. And then I can always just throw that in the microwave while I try to figure out if I'm going to have a sandwich with it or not.
Oh, okay. That's good. Because those steamables are pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good.
And I found out steaming vegetables like that way is the most nutritious. Mm-hmm. There's probably somebody who's going to disagree with me and write you a hateful blog about it. But that's okay because it keeps, you know, if you like boil them or steam them like in a pot and stuff, all of the nutrients sink down and then you just get the vegetables. But steaming them in the microwave in a bag like that, it all stays together. Mm-hmm. So
that's very good.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys think, so Martha, you said, you know, when you were in college, you ate well, and what do you think has caused you to fall off the wagon besides wastefulness?
Well, at least I meant there.
Martha has this reputation of like baking. You obviously like to bake.
I know, I do. Bake so, a lot.
Okay, well, you know where I sit.
Problem.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I
know.
That's a good question. What changed? I think it's probably laziness.
Yeah.
Is a big thing. Yeah. And also, I mean, I think I discovered I don't need that much.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I just don't eat as much.
Well, let's be honest.
No, you
how
don't. Your
is
eating
it
distresses to, me, actually. We go out. Martha and I go out. She is not the person to go out on like snack runs with. I'm just going to be honest. We go out for frozen yogurt. I can barely even see what she got at the bottom of her cup. It's like two tablespoons. I'm like, that is lame. This wasn't even worth driving out here.
Oh, man.
And she's got like no less yogurt than I have like of one topping. Okay. Yeah. It's so just devastating.
I'm the guy who just like gets a bowl of toppings. You know, you just got gummy bears. Yes, I did.
Exactly. And then you get a separate one.
Right. Exactly. For your ice cream.
Exactly. That's good. But okay. Well, that makes sense. I mean, let's talk a little bit about what we wish maybe were different about our eating habits now. I mean, if we could change something and it weren't a lot of effort or a lot of cost or a lot of, you know.
I think, so I do spend quite a bit of money on food. And it's strictly because.
Are you snobby about grocery stores?
No.
Okay, good.
Oh, gosh. No.
Okay.
I go to the discount grocer down on 30th.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's downtown Colorado Springs. Yeah. It's like the dented cans and these, you know, cookies expired 2 years ago. But they're all still kind of holding together.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are good. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone says.
Okay.
So Honey Boo Boo and I do have that in common.
That's very true.
The food auctions.
Uh-huh.
Not that I watch a lot of that show. I'm not endorsing it.
Exactly.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
But it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I had my rathers and my ideal, yeah, I would be the whole... You know, I got my meals planned out for the week and, you know, I'm eating healthy and blah, blah, blah. But let's be honest. I'll, like, pack my healthy lunch and then I'll be like, I'm just going to go see what the cafeteria has. Oh, look at these brownies, you know, and then you spend $3 on a brownie and you realize you could have bought, you know, one and a half pounds of chicken breast for that. But, oh, well.
No, it's because they package it as a deal. That's the problem. Our cafeteria is like, oh, just pay whatever for this entree and you get dessert and a drink.
This is true because I got a bowl of soup the other day and it was like $5.15. Mm-hmm. But if I get like a sandwich with a dessert and a drink and like a side salad, it's like $4.35.
I'm not really sure
what's going on. So then you like get it and you're like, oh, I'll put this away for later. And then before you realize it.
They kill you for the healthy choices. That's what I'm saying.
Anyways. And they're probably listening to this now and they're like, why is it only $4.35 for a sandwich?
I know. Someone will have to reevaluate, I guess. But no, that's good. Okay. So you don't, I mean, but.
I try to. I mean, one of the things I will do is I'll try to cook a bunch of chicken on Sunday afternoons and then separate them out in the bag. I find whenever I buy like bell peppers is something I love to add in omelets and stuff like that. But. I'm that guy that I go to make my omelet and the bell pepper's still whole and I'm like, I don't really need bell pepper in my omelet.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's in your fridge, just sitting there and then you end up throwing it away a month later. Yes, I said a month later. So what I do now is I chop them all up.
Mm-hmm.
So on Sunday afternoons, I'll buy vegetables and stuff and I basically kitchen prep for the week. That way
you're really putting me to shame.
No. That way if I come home and I want an omelet, which I eat a lot of eggs for dinner because it's simple and it's easy and it's quote-unquote healthy for you, then I can add anything I want in it. You know, wilted spinach, it's another way to really use the spinach without it before it going bad. Instead of eating it in a salad, just we wilt it down and throw it in an omelet. So
I do that too. I do food prep. And I've been actually doing a this like protein diet thing for the purpose of weight loss. I was doing that beginning this spring. And poor Martha, sometimes after recording sessions, I would be like near fainting.
Seriously. Yes.
Somebody get her a stick of gum.
I'm not going to say that that was entirely healthy. It was supposedly doctor recommended and I was on this protocol and whatever, but it was like very low calorie and it was just, I mean, who knows? I had to buy these protein packs and who even knows what was in them, you know?
Right.
Questionable. But the one thing I did do was take good vitamins and eat a lot of salads. I had to eat salads twice a day at least.
Wow.
But it is huge. I mean, if you can get some food prep done ahead of time, it is much more motivating to actually eat some vegetables and figure out, you know, don't make yourself eat vegetables that you don't like. I mean, all these people are trying to force down vegetables. Pick two or three vegetables you like and just eat them, you know, not corn or potatoes. Those don't count.
And I mean, if you also pick, you know, if you pick those vegetables correctly, I mean, everybody's going to have a salad, but the lettuce you choose really impacts the nutrients that you're getting. I mean, people don't realize how much you get from basic spinach leaf.
Right.
You know, it's high in all types of great things, and I would list them, except for I can't remember currently off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So
iron.
Yeah.
Folate.
That's right. I do have a secret up my sleeve about my eating habits that a certain person in my life would yell at me if I did not, mention her and her husband. I've mentioned them before. Robert and Elena are two people in my life that are practically family for me. I eat dinner at their house at least 3 times a week.
Oh.
So.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is nice. I mean, I'll call her up and we kind of plan what the meal is, and then I'll bring a part of it, and then her and I will cook together and like get it together for her and her entire family, and then, I'll just have dinner with them. Now, I understand that I'm not everybody has the luxury of having an awesome family in their life like that, that they can just go have dinner with. But she's the one who keeps me on track with my eating habits. Mm-hmm. They'll be out of town for like 2 weeks and she comes back and she's like, I'm so worried that you were just starving while I was gone. You know, I know you're not eating if I don't cook for you.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no, I'm eating. It's just not as healthily.
Yeah.
I mean, she's eats very healthy and so it keeps me kind of on track.
Yeah.
My mom has done that when she's come to visit before. We'll go to the grocery store and she's like, no, let's just fill up this cart and fill up your refrigerator. It's nice.
Because your fridge just has condiments in it.
Some days.
Yeah.
That you bought when you moved into the house because you were supposed to.
That's so hard to work on.
That's okay. Yeah, mustard never spoils. That's good. It's cool.
Supposedly.
I've heard of some people, like singles, especially those who live with roommates, where they take turns. Like they each have a night of the week where they have to cook or they, especially if you live in a house where you have more than just one roommate, like a group of, four men or four women, and everyone takes a night, then it really does divvy up the workload. And that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that luxury. I live alone. But I want to talk briefly about the merits of the crock pot because
it's true.
Let's talk about how that has saved my life. Okay. Because I have looked up just like 10 easy crock pot recipes that are healthy. I can rotate those bad boys in and get some good meals out of that. I mean, some ones with chicken. And then all you do is throw all this stuff in the pot and come home and it's ready to eat. Because that's my thing is when I come home, I'm not going to be prepping something for an hour and a half and eating, okay?
Yeah.
I eat standing over my sink or over my counter. I mean, how sad is that?
It makes cleanup super easy. It just drops in.
Crumbs like fall down.
You just brush them off into the sink.
Exactly. But I just love crock pots. They just, and it makes you feel like you're cooking something real, you know? Like,
does yours have a timer on it? Because I've had problems of like being gone all day and it's burned by the time I get home.
Oh, no.
Are you not putting enough liquid in it? Okay.
I'm wondering. Because I can put mine on before work and it's fine, especially with like chicken or a roast or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it is. You got to put enough liquid. I was reading this roast recipe today for a crock pot that had like 2 tablespoons of liquid. That's not okay.
Some of the juices, right?
I think it's counting on the juices, but I'm like,
here's the sad thing. I don't eat red meat, but I know how to cook it. So for Christmas, I always put like the prime rib recipe and, make prime rib for everybody. But I have a crock pot. I've used it to carry soups to places in. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay, so looking ahead, let's talk just briefly here about looking ahead to marriage, because that for many of us is hopefully a future status for us. And I mean, the assumption is we're not going to be able to eat, shop, live like this when we're married, especially if we have families. So what's going to change?
I think having to cook for a man's appetite, that freaks me out a little bit. I don't know if they're going to like crackers and cheese every night.
Yeah.
But, and just for the record, I do know how to cook. I just don't do it very often.
Yeah.
But
she does know how to cook.
Totally get that.
So,
but going out, she just eats like kids' meals. So cooking in quantity is going to have to be, that'll be a game changer for Martha. That's good. That's a good point.
I think for me, I want a wife who knows how to cook. I mean, that's really important to me. But on the other hand, I really enjoy it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting. For me, I don't know what it's going to look like yet.
Because you want a team effort.
Yeah. I like being in the kitchen as well. And I also I think I would find it very romantic to cook meals together. So anyways.
And you can't have that element with Elena because she's married.
Sorry. Correct.
Yeah,
correct. Oh, yeah. That came out really weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So Elena is like my big sister.
Uh-huh.
So just to put that out there. Yeah. And Robert is like my goofy big brother. He's awesome. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me too. I'm not someone, there are some things that I really like to cook, but I'm definitely not. I have several friends who are the types that will make something and then they're like, what this needs is some sage or what this needs. And they pick out these obscure seasonings that they just know that if they added a little bit, like it's going to, and I mean, they just make these amazing things out of what are in their cupboards. I'm like, I need to follow a recipe. Uh-huh. I can't come up with creative things on my own. I don't know what I'm doing, you know?
I think that's how my mom invented goulash.
Oh, yeah.
Although I think everybody's mom thinks they invented goulash.
Yeah.
But...
or each slightly different, perhaps.
Right, yeah, you know. Well, ours had this in it. Well, that's because...
that reminds me. Let's talk about the joys of Jell-O.
Oh, my word. Oh. Okay, I'm everyone except the Minnesotans so... just tuned out.
Okay.
Okay, what's your favorite Jell-O, Martha?
Oh, okay. So you have Cool Whip... vanilla pudding, strawberry Jell-O that you somehow mix all together.
So you're including,
and then
like,
you put in fresh strawberries, uh-huh. And it's just very creamy and fruity and good.
Okay, besides making your nails stronger, is that healthy for you?
There's strawberries in it.
Okay, listen to this. Okay. Yeah. I have a stash of Jell-O in my pantry that are all the sugar-free kind because it's a really good alternative for dessert because you can, you sit there and eat the entire bowl because, you know, you're watching a movie and you're home alone. Weird. And it's like 20 calories.
Yeah.
So it's also probably going to give me cancer, but...
And Thomas, I don't know. I think that's the saddest thing I've heard all day. Sitting what? Alone by yourself, watching a movie, eating sugar-free.
It's better than a bag of Cheetos.
Okay. Okay. I mean, you're just the new single stereotype.
I know. I just finished the Harry Potter series again.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
And you notice I used the word again at the end of that sentence.
Okay.
Makes me kind of.
All right. Well, so we're all going to continue using our skills as we can.
Yes.
Trying to. We're going to try to get Martha to eat vegetables.
Correct. Which, do you know what?
I had a salad today.
Oh.
In preparation for this show. Yeah.
It was a pasta salad.
Yeah. Okay. It was her first one since July.
Do you know what? Okay. So I just started using this program called Emeals, and that has helped with it a lot because they kind of map out all of the vegetables and... meats and
not only that, but they tell you like where, like they give you a shopping list. I just signed up for it as well, and we are actually on the blog, folks. We have the link. Focus is now in an alliance with them. You can go to our link and you will get a discounted rate for that through Focus. So you guys should check it out. They have a two-person now. Bless. It's not entirely awesome. Singles friendly, and we need to talk to them about that. You have to either choose family or two-person. But let's be honest, some people eat enough for two people, and the rest of us can just, you have it for
I print out
day.
The family one.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I don't.
I was going to say.
I like to
just imagine. On the Jell-O recipes.
On the Jell-O recipes, man. The bigger the bowl, the better.
Okay, let's be honest. On the Jell-O recipes, you could throw in those carrots and stuff and get almost a salad.
Oh, that's is that like true. The Jell-O mold that she brings that. In like Christmas Vacation, you know, that has the cat food in it? That's like what I'm imagining right now.
Yeah.
Carrots. I mean,
but you need to not put cat food. Not cat food, but like
food.
Like carrots and grapes and some people.
Okay, here's the challenge out there. If there's some culinary genius listening, invent a savory Jell-O for the sake of Martha eating vegetables.
Ooh,
so
that would be awesome.
We can add like a gravy flavor to Jell-O, and then you can like have chunks of potato in it or something.
Yeah. That'd be good. Or
does it sound good? Or
who
sound
can
gross?
Create an entire Thanksgiving dinner that's contained within a Jell-O? So that's all you have to make. You don't have to do a turkey. You don't have to do mashed potatoes.
Do you know what? I think you need to make this a challenge. You need to put this up.
It's all in the Jell-O. I might do it. That's what I can do. So, okay, check out Emeals. Comment on the blog. Give us your ideas for how you eat, how you've changed your eating habits, what difference it's made. Any of you out there that are doctors or nutritionists and you think that we don't even know what we're talking about and you want to correct us, you do it, okay?
Just don't correct us on the steamed vegetables in the bag because I know that's right.
Because Thomas is sticking to his 10 for 10. He's sticking to it. So, good. Well, good thoughts, you guys. We'll go home. I'm going to go maybe eat a salad for dinner with some cookies.
Feeling inspired.
I'm going to McDonald's.
Oh, okay. All right. A rich young man came to ask of Christ, good teacher, will you tell me, what must I do for eternal life? I've kept your laws completely. Sell all you have, give to the poor, then heaven's treasure shall be yours. How hard for those who are rich on earth to gain the wealth of heaven. Well, hey, everyone. For this week's culture segment of The Boundless Show, I'm privileged to have, by phone at least, two women whose names you will know. First of all, I need to introduce the wife of our founder here at Focus on the Family, Shirley Dobson. Shirley, welcome.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be on.
Very good to have you. Shirley, as most of you know, is also chair of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. We love prayer and we love what the task force does that first Thursday in May and throughout the year to recognize the importance of prayer in our nation. When she's not chairing the National Day of Prayer Task Force, apparently she has time to write books and speak and do all this other kind of crazy stuff. So she is a busy woman, and we're going to be talking about a little bit of that today. But also with us is her daughter, Danae. Danae, welcome.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Danae is joining us from afar. You're on the West Coast, right?
Yes, I am in Pasadena, which is on the outskirts of L.A.
Oh, well, it's kind of chilly here in Colorado, so we're not going to hold that against you today. So, but Danae is an author. She has written 24 books. She's also a popular speaker, has done a ton of events and conferences, as well as TV and radio interviews. So what we're going to talk about today, though, is a new book that they have, and this is very appropriate heading into the holiday season. The book is called Welcome to Our Table, and it is really a beautiful book, first of all. I mean, the pictures are just gorgeous, and they did have a photographer put those together. I just kind of felt like, you know, maybe I should just put it on my coffee table and flip through it, you know, and just have people look at it because it's so beautifully done. But really, their heart in this book is to convey how attainable and not only attainable, but desirable and doable the gift of hospitality is, and really how that can be reflected in so many different ways. And ladies, I want to start out just by asking you, you know, we are in a culture, and here we are talking to young adults, many of whom are trying to get their careers going, trying to figure out, you know, post-college, where they're going to live, what they're going to do. Maybe they're on a limited budget. And we know that in our culture, we're just all stressed out. I mean, is it even possible anymore to give time to hospitality, and those folks that are just like, well, that is definitely not my gift, so I don't think I can do that. What would you say to them?
Well, first of all, hospitality is just another word for human kindness. Our book, we tried to fill it with ideas and illustrations that really help us reach out to others and just put an arm around them. And I was just sharing with Danae about this friend of ours, I'll call him Mark, who's going through a divorce right now, and it's very painful, and he's living in an attic. He has a little cook plate up there, and so we invited him over for dinner and just to let him talk and let him shed some tears, and I didn't realize that he's not really eating balanced meals, and I almost cried when I sat at the table and watched him eat, because it was like a hungry little puppy that had been out on the streets and hadn't had any food. And, I mean, I almost cried because it was sad. It was very sad. But what all that was hospitality. It was just inviting somebody over that was hurting, putting an arm around them for a meal. And you know, we didn't have to have a meal. We probably could have had some hot chocolate. He would have been just as happy. But, you know, and that's biblical, Lisa, because in the scriptures it says in Romans 12:13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And then another verse in 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality to one another without grudging. And so it's just putting an arm around somebody. You don't have to have a formal dinner, although, you know, that's nice. But it's just human kindness and caring for one another.
Sure. Do you think that the formality in all of this, and maybe, Danae, you have some thoughts on this, the formality or just the almost feeling a little bit overwhelmed or kind of intimidated by hospitality, is that what keeps a lot of people from doing it? Or what are some of the barriers that people are up against?
I think that could be part of it. Also, time constraints. We live in such a rush, especially me here in L.A. Nobody walks. Everybody drives everywhere. There's always traffic, and it's just a very fast pace of life out here. So that's one issue. And then also financial problems, too. You know, these are hard times, and people are trying to conserve their money. And so they're thinking, oh, I don't want to shell out $100 to buy a bunch of food for people. Because I can't afford it. And so one of the things that we've emphasized in the book is that you don't have to shell out a lot of money. You can have people over and just have some snacks. I mean, I've hosted Bible studies before where I've gone to a fast food place and just bought some quesadillas or maybe a couple $5 pizzas. And everybody's happy. I mean, people just want an excuse to get together. Yeah. They don't care that you haven't filled the table with all this homemade food.
Exactly.
You know, they're there to hang out and have fun and interact with each other.
Yeah.
The food's definitely part of it. I mean, I for sure would encourage listeners to have something, because I remember going to a Bible study one time, and this guy was hosting it, and he had nothing. He didn't even have anything for us to drink. And our Bible study leader drew attention to that, and he's like, you know, it'd be nice if we had something here to, you know, some kind of beverage. And the guy who was hosting said, did you come here to learn about the Bible, or did you come here to eat? You know, I didn't like his response, but I think the refreshments are necessary to the spiritual experience. You know, it's part of it. When Jesus taught the people, he fed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so,
good.
That's a good example for us.
Yeah. So, Shirley, what would you say, what are some of the, you know, maybe the top just traditions that you grew up with that really stand out that you've passed on to Danae, and how have those been meaningful within your family?
Well, I've always cherished family, faith, and friends. It's always been important to me. And it is because, as a little girl, I didn't grow up in a loving environment. My father had a severe drinking problem, and we were afraid when guests came over for a visit that he'd come home and embarrass us. So my mother worked to provide food and a roof over our house, and that's about all she had time for. So we didn't have any traditions. But and through a lot of prayer, praying someday if I were to get married, I wanted to have a stable, loving home. I wanted to marry somebody like my husband, Jim, which is an answer to prayer. And when I married into his family, he's from the South, they had a lot of wonderful traditions, mostly built around food. So I not only adopted their traditions, then I started building my own traditions. And that's kind of how I came out with the book, Let's Make a Memory with Gloria Gaither, which was all on traditions and how to build them in your families. And tradition is really doing the same thing over and over, particularly at the same time. And so it kind of gives a family an identity. They can say, this is who we are. This is what we do. It sets you apart from other families, and it gives you an identity. And that's what I've loved about it. And so now, you know, we've carried on those traditions in our family.
Hmm. Well, the book has so many different themes that you guys walk through, and especially different seasons that people can take some of your ideas and really craft things around those thematically. What would each of you say is your favorite type of gathering to host that kind of reflects your personality?
Well, I've always liked the holidays. I like Thanksgiving and Christmas, Valentine's Day, Easter, because I like to decorate. I like to put pumpkins on the table. And because when my children were growing up, it was so commercialized. Christmas, I'm talking about Christmas now,
mm-hmm.
and it's even more commercialized today. Jim and I really wanted to emphasize that this was Christ's birth. So I have nativity scenes all over my house, and on my dining room table in the center, I put a glass nativity scene and build the decorations around it, because we just want to emphasize that, you know, this isn't about toys and Santa and all that, but the emphasis should be on Christ and his birth. So that's always been important, and I love to decorate for those holidays. What about you, Danae?
Well, I will just add to that you and Dad definitely did embrace Santa Claus, though. I mean, you allowed Ryan and I to believe in Santa Claus until, unfortunately, I figured out the truth when I was all the way up to 9 years of age. I think I was 8 or 9 when Mom and I were at a restaurant, and I said something about wanting to leave cookies for Santa that Christmas, and she goes, you don't still believe in Santa Claus, do you?
I mean, she was nine years old. I think it's about time she figured this out.
I have
this girl sitting on Santa's lap with these long legs dangling down.
Oh, that's true. What a crushing blow. How sad.
Oh. It was one of those wah, 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 wah moments. And I'll never forget, you know, that feeling of like, oh, like the rug had been ripped out from under me. But anyway, life goes on. But, you know, they definitely, my parents emphasized the reason for the season, and they made it very clear that although the toys and Santa, they were part of Christmas, the reason why we were celebrating was all about Christ's birth. And Ryan and I participated in Christmas programs at church, and we had Christmas candlelight ceremonies at home during the Christmas season to emphasize why we were celebrating in the first place. So that there was no confusion there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that candlelight service is in the book. We usually had it on Christmas Eve, and so I won't go into it, but it was a very special and meaningful time, and you just use votive candles for your family or your guests, and you have a candle lighter, and then everybody tells some things that they're thankful for in the past year and some things they would like the Lord to work on in the new year, maybe building a new relationship with a family member or start an exercise program or start reading your Bible on a weekly basis or nightly basis, some new goal you want the Lord to help you with. And when we go around the room and we come back to the last person, there's usually tears, and people become very open, and the Lord's presence is very real at that service.
Hmm, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Danae, give us a couple ideas. I mean, you are a single girl, like you said, living out in L.A. How do you really create an inviting home where you are, you know, when you have the opportunity to, and how have you been able to bless others in this, in inviting people in?
My condo is only 1,000 square feet. And yet it's been used for a variety of occasions. I've hosted Bible studies, birthday parties, game nights, dinner parties, holiday events, and I can easily accommodate 15 people in the space that I have.
Hmm.
And what I found is that people just enjoy congregating and hanging out. And like I said before, you don't need to spend a lot of money on food. Just having some snacks and things and have a game night, have people over. A lot of times people are just waiting for somebody to take the initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, I let other people do that. And now I'm kind of the go-to person amongst my circle of friends. I'm the one who plans the events. Like I've got a hike coming up at Catalina Island, and that's kind of out farther from Long Beach out here in L.A., but I'm putting that together, and I do hikes, and I host an annual beach barbecue every September. We have about 35 to 40 who come to that, and, you know, people will mention to me, hey, you know, when's the next hike, or, you know, they're looking to me to plan the events.
Mm-hmm.
And I like doing that. I enjoy it. I just sent out an email the other day to some friends because I'm putting together a little Christmas party. And this one will be at a restaurant because people are coming from all different areas. So it's too far for them to drive out to my place. But, you know, hey, you as a single person, make it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, don't wait for other people to do it because you might end up lonely on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. You do it, and you'll be amazed at how people will respond.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, and how would you ladies both weigh in on, you know, a lot of times the holidays can be difficult for single young adults. Many of them are on their own, and then they come home, and, you know, it's not maybe like it was when they were growing up, or maybe there's now extended family and the focus is on the kids. What's a good way for young adults to be enfolded back into a family and feel like they're part of this celebration without feeling like a third wheel or maybe like they've been forgotten?
Jump in and interact with everybody. I mean, I can definitely attest to the fact that it can feel awkward to be the only single person when you're around all these couples and then kids and everything. But what I always do is I stay active. I play with the kids. I help in the kitchen. I engage in conversations with guests. I'm always moving and doing and working. I mean, you'll never find me standing in a corner by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely is one way to combat feeling a little awkward at a party when you're the only single person there.
Sure.
And now, I think it's good, too, if you're a single, always ask questions. You know, I know my husband in one of his books talked about a tennis match. It's like conversation is like a tennis match where you hit the ball, you ask the question, and then, for instance, you say, did you have to travel very far for Thanksgiving? And the person would say, no. Well, they've dropped the tennis ball. They didn't hit it back. And so you say, did you have to travel very far for Thanksgiving? And they said, yeah, I live 30 miles out, and I had to take some side roads and then got up on the freeway. Then they've hit the tennis ball back. You don't just give a no or a yes answer, but you answer the question in detail so that there's a conversation. And many people that are shy, they just give a flat answer, and so the conversation stops. But you have to think of it like a tennis match. Keep the ball in the air. Keep it going back and forth.
Sure.
Yeah, I just had lunch with a friend last week, and it was kind of hard to have a conversation with her because there were a few times where I would say something, and she'd respond with, yeah, that's true, or yeah, you know, and it's like I would feel like I needed to keep it going. Whereas when I am talking to my friend Sonia, I mean, she's a big talker too. We never have moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going back and forth, back and forth. So I can relate to what Mom's talking about. When you have somebody just drop a tennis ball, it kind of interferes with quality conversation.
Yeah, and well, I think it's helpful, too, you know, for those introverts out there. There's nothing wrong with having a couple, a few questions in your pocket, you know, ready to ask. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I just can't talk. I can't make conversation. I hate chit chat. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with just saying, you know, OK, what are a few questions that I can have at the ready to ask? Or, you know, if you're going to host a gathering, make sure you invite a few extroverts. They'll take over that aspect for you. They'll get
yeah.
the conversation going, and then you won't feel like the whole burden is on you. I think
yeah.
that's helpful as well. So,
Lisa, I would like to just, if I could, just interject that the book is broken up into seasons. It's broken up into spring, summer, fall, and winter. And there are the beach cookouts, there are Bible studies, there are a little bit more formal occasions like Thanksgiving, Christmas. But the recipes, and we try to make them not complicated. We try to make them rather simple. In fact, if some of our listeners would like to make a huge impression on your Thanksgiving, wherever you're going, your Thanksgiving family or just friends, they should look on page 61 of the book, which talks about a pumpkin trifle. That is a beautiful, breathtaking dessert, and yet it's very, very simple. You just buy a spice cake, bake it, crumble it up. Buy some cooked pumpkin, add a few things to it, and then vanilla pudding, butterscotch pudding, and you layer all these, you know, different ingredients, and it makes a stunning dessert when you take it to somebody's house. So we tried to put recipes in there that singles and couples and families, everybody could do pretty easily.
That's a great tip, and we'll help help our singles not just bring a bag of chips, you know, because no one wants to be that one that's just bringing chips or have the person bring chips. I mean, hello, people,
that's
let's not
true.
Do that. Yeah.
one of the guys at my table who was eating that pumpkin trifle took a couple bites and said, "Can we have this all the time?" It's really good.
There you go. That's great. Well, folks, the book is Welcome to Our Table. We've been talking to Shirley and Danae Dobson, the authors of it. Like I said, a beautiful book filled with great ideas as well as recipes, pictures that illustrate a lot of what they're talking about. I think it would just make a great gift as well. Guys out there, let's be honest, you don't even know what you're getting for your mom or your sister for Christmas. So here is your idea right here. Again, Welcome to Our Table. Ladies, thank you so much for carving out some time for us. Happy Thanksgiving and Christmas to you both. And I'm just going to say that if you guys ever have a little gathering and you need an extra guest, I'm available. So, I mean,
okay.
I'm just making myself
Thank
available.
You.
So, well, thanks again, ladies, for being part of the conversation.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank
God
you.
Bless.
And happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hey, everyone. We're opening up this week's Inbox with Candace Waters. Candace is on the line. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Lisa. Good to be back with you.
I know. It's always good to have you. So
thanks.
To hear your voice instead of just seeing you in print. We love having you both places. So, well, we've got a great question for you this week, which, quite frankly, I could have written, but I didn't. So I'm going to have to listen in so I can gain some of this insight. This listener says, I have read in scripture that women are to adorn themselves with a gentle and quiet spirit. As an extrovert, I sometimes feel as if I may not accomplish this. Can you provide some guidance as to what exactly is a gentle and quiet spirit and a quiet heart? How does it play out in reality, and what steps can I take to have these? what steps can I take?
This,
I know.
Seriously, the fact that you could have written this, and I think I could have written this, and every woman that ever writes to me says they could write this. I think we are sensing a theme here.
No, that's the first thing that people say to us, Candace, is you have such a gentle and quiet spirit. That's my number one descriptor for Lisa Anderson right there.
I can think of like one woman in my whole life that fits that description by nature, which is probably why it's in the Bible, because God knew that we would need this instruction because he knows that we're not all of us going to be introverts. But here's the thing, and this is why we have to be so careful to read scripture carefully. This passage doesn't say you need to have a gentle and quiet voice. Mm-hmm. And so I want to start by saying we've got to remember the principle that we need to interpret scripture by scripture, not by just what seems good or right or even workable to our own finite minds. Because we are fallible, and God, thankfully, is not, and the Bible is his infallible word. So let's see a little bit of what other places in Scripture say that might help us understand this challenge to have a gentle and quiet spirit. My first thought was, we've got people with loud personalities. Maybe that's what it's talking about. But I looked in Proverbs, and Proverbs 9:13 talks about the woman folly who is loud. But then it goes on in Proverbs 8:1 to talk about wisdom and says, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? And so you've got both wisdom and folly with vocal abilities that are, you know, loud, because they both want to be heard. So it's not about volume, but it is about the content of what they're saying. It says back in Proverbs 9 that folly is seductive and knows nothing. And you contrast that with wisdom, who is calling out to people, encouraging them to fear the Lord. And so I think it's really important to understand that this passage in 1 Peter is talking about your heart posture, that it is one of trusting in the Lord and of being at rest in the Lord. And you can have a very gregarious personality and even a louder than average voice and still have a heart that is at rest. And I think that's what that passage is talking about.
So would you say, for example, I mean, how do we then make that distinction? What if a girl's listening to this now and she's like, oh, yeah, maybe I don't have that heart posture toward the Lord. Maybe I am really using my personality as an excuse for heart attitudes that aren't right.
Right. And I think that would be a great thing to take to the Lord in prayer. Also, to really study Proverbs 8, which is the chapter that shows us the blessings of wisdom and the blessing of the fear of the Lord. You know, further on in that passage in 1 Peter, which holds up Sarah as an example of a woman who does have a gentle and quiet spirit, which the passage says is very precious in God's sight. It says that we are Sarah's children if we do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. It doesn't say there's nothing to be afraid of, but it says we don't fear anything that is frightening. And the only way you cannot fear frightening things is if you do fear the Lord. And it's as you fear the Lord that you begin to know his character and begin to trust him. That's when our hearts are able to be at rest. And so it is a daily practice of reminding yourself of the gospel, of God's holiness, of his complete otherness from us, and being reminded of our desperate need for him and of Christ's blood to cover our sins so that we can even stand before him and not just be obliterated. And as we do that, we then can begin to thank him for his salvation and begin to trust that he has a good plan for us. The God that sent his son to die for us surely has our good and his glory in mind. And so we need to be meditating on these things and not thinking about all the things we could be afraid of, whether it's, you know, I'm afraid I won't get a husband, I'm afraid I won't get a good job, I'm afraid people will think I'm awkward socially, I'm afraid I'm too fat, I'm afraid I'm not funny enough. I mean, whatever it is that we as women tend to, I think, obsess about, to begin to discipline and train our minds to think about the truth and to be speaking the truth of the gospel to ourselves. And that is the one thing that has the ability to quiet our hearts.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for that assurance, Candace. I think that is a good word and a good encouragement for women. I'm hoping that Dave, our engineer, is listening, because he often tells me that I am talking too loud into the mic and he has to turn it down. And so, Dave, this
Lisa,
is not
that's a totally different.
This is not about that. So you've heard it here first. Candace just told me that I'm not too loud in the mic. So.
Right.
All right, Candace, thank you so much for that. Please, everyone, write to us at editor@boundless.org with your questions so we can address it in the future. And remember to be following the questions and checking up and seeing what questions we've answered in the past, because it could be that one that you have is one that we've already addressed. So make sure you're following that. Pass the show along to your friends and get excited about where we are heading this fall and into the next year, because we very much are as well. So thanks for being part of the listening family. That is it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.